This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, my name's Derek Gallimore. This is Outsource Accelerator, and this is episode 56. Today, we have Carmen Reyes with us. She joined us actually on episode 47 and 38. So if you want to know a little bit more about office space and the technical aspects of office provision, go and listen to those episodes. Today, we dive in a little bit deeper, and we talk about the office environment, the cultural environment surrounding that, and other aspects of housing, the staffing, and approaches to it. We also cover a little bit about build cost and the build process. So this one's interesting, specifically if you are considering outsourcing independently. Okay, so that means setting up your own office and incorporating and things like that. Do have a listen. If you want any information or you want to contact Carmen, go to our show notes. You can find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode56. Okay, welcome back. Today, again, I've got Carmen Reyes of Core Design. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
And Carmen is an architect here in Manila, Philippines. I have actually used her for one of my office fit-outs in Manila, and she was a ray of light. And so I would like to draw on your experience, Carmen, because I took the step, and this is very common for a lot of people that outsource. There's kind of a maturation cycle in that they go with a BPO initially because it's safe and secure and there's a lot more services added. But then they go out on their own, they incorporate, and a part of that is finding an office and fitting it out. And that's where all the fun begins. So I wondered if you could maybe shed some light on the process of fitting out an office in Manila, Philippines, and maybe some cost insight.
Sure. Okay. Well, first thing, once a space is selected, is to get some plans done. So you would want to hire an architect and engineers. That would be an electrical engineer and a mechanical engineer. If you will have any sinks or toilets or anything that has to do with water, then you would need a plumbing and sanitary engineer as well. And you contract these people, and they submit the plans, which will be submitted to the building administration. It's assuming this is a space in the building, or whoever the administrator is for the development. And there would be an approval that would be needed, like a permit that would be assigned once everything is complied with. They do have usually their own set of restrictions and construction guidelines that would need to be complied with. Right. And ideally, in order to not have to redraw everything, If the company is interested in the PEZA accreditation, then it would be good to cross the design guidelines of the development with the PEZA guidelines in terms of the physical space and all these technical requirements.
So the architect
would need a copy of that. Yeah, it's very significant, because if you change everything, that's everything, it's like redoing a project from scratch sometimes.
Right.
So just to make things a bit more efficient, get all the constraints, get all the restrictions, get all the requirements in there before even putting pen to paper.
What I did notice in the Philippines was there were a lot of codependencies, and you couldn't do this before you got this, and you couldn't get that before you got that. And it made for quite a cumbersome process, because obviously each of those departments are quite busy. How long, in rough terms, would you think it would take to get a build project or a fit out project approved, and then equally for it to be built out, would you?
So. Oh gosh, it's case to case really. Depends on the building administrator. It depends on the city government. Approvals can take, if you're lucky, maybe a couple of weeks, you know, if they have a really efficient system right. for going over plans and giving approvals. But the usual case is here, you submit something and you're waiting. You know, sometimes things don't happen. Things don't move unless there's someone like following up weekly, sometimes even daily if necessary, just because there's so much going on.
Right.
In a lot of cases, people are forced to pay an under-the-table fee with no receipt, just for the expedition of the process.
Right.
That's not unusual over here. Mm. And some people, I mean, rather than have to wait and go through the whole process of, you know, like a month, 2 months wait. I mean, if you have to operate already, they just said, you know, we'll just give you that bribe. We'll just, yeah, just take care of it, just right. fix it, just make sure it gets done.
Yeah, so, that's a very real aspect to Manila.
It's very real. Absolutely.
Which actually we haven't really touched on in any podcasts mm-hmm. yet. And because mm-hmm. it, to be frank, it's a little bit of a delicate
Of course. And people wouldn't want to admit it. They wouldn't want to be caught doing it. But, I mean, it's been in the system for quite a while, unfortunately. But yes, again, there are some, it's case to case, you know, there's some agencies, there's some people, there's some development. Well, definitely the private developments are less prone to this. They're a bit more stringent. They have a system in place. They have their protocols that they follow, and there's no going around it. If their building manager is very good, if the property manager is doing their job well, the leasing manager, then, I mean, things will be according to a protocol.
Right.
But usually, if it's a government-related thing, then things are a little bit grayer, and that also, again, depends who you know. Things can also tend to go faster if you know somebody at a higher level in that office, for example. Or if it's someone, a friend or someone you've dealt with, a friend of a friend, a relative. Yeah. So, again.
So maybe if I could summarize that, Carmen, it really need to allow for quite a long time. Yeah. And
there's a lot of back and forth and expect to wait, expect to not be able to meet your target deadline.
So double or triple the preparatory time. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. And this also applies to the construction process.
Mm.
That will apply to construction, that will apply to sometimes design, engineering design. You can be done with the architectural design, for example, in a month, and then you pass on your plans to the engineer, and you're like, okay, can we get this by next week? And I have yet to see that happen.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of weeks if you're lucky, but then you would have to be calling them, professionalism and maybe just having a culture of reporting, of like letting people know, it'll be done. So this came up. I can only submit it by this day. And, you know, you're able to actually do it. I mean, just having that mindset of informing people of when things can actually happen, or, you know, what can actually be delivered. A lot of times people, this is just across the rule, the general standard is they're not thinking like that. Yeah.
Right. And I think a very significant point you made, without it necessarily being a point, is that it's really important to have a very, very knowledgeable, but possibly even connected person that is representing you. And, you know, you're a perfect example of that, someone that's very organized, someone that's very knowledgeable and can get things done. This really isn't something where especially a foreigner should think that they could do it themselves, because you would just get really weighed down in a kind of quagmire of paperwork and bureaucracy.
Very frustrated also. Yeah. Like, why did this person say they could do it, but they couldn't, and then it didn't happen, and now I have to call them. And,
yeah,
it tends to happen a lot, yeah.
Okay. And then just briefly, I mean, I know it's very difficult to have rules of thumb about this, but in terms of build costs and build time, something that I noticed in fitting out an office here was that a lot of the raw materials, well, finished materials, such as the office carpets, And certainly the electronics and possibly the electrics, they're actually maybe more expensive than what you would pay in the West. So there are certain aspects of construction and build that are significantly cheaper here, but there are numerous aspects that are actually as expensive, if not more. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would say labor here is less expensive for sure than in the West. The daily wage, the minimum wage is quite low. But in terms of materials, do take note, there's a lot of construction materials here that are imported.
Right.
Get a lot of things from the U.S., from China, from different countries, like tiles from Spain and Italy, you know, carpet tiles from Germany, wood planks from Germany.
Right.
Yeah, so there's the additional import tax fee to consider. So that, yes, it can add up. It can.
Right. Okay, no, that's great. That's good insight.
I do want to add one more thing. I believe this happens quite regularly, even until now. The main impression is if the client is foreign, that they would have capacity and be willing to spend more. I think there may also be that factor. So yeah, it is helpful to have a local representative maybe. To be the one facing contractors, to be the one facing the suppliers, for example. You have to bargain or you're able to bargain in the local dialect, it does help a lot. Not for things to get too blown up, for example. Mm.
And that's especially the case with the certification and the approvals and things like that as
definitely,
well.
Isn't
it? It's better as a foreigner not to...
They will make some conclusions when they see white skin, for example, and then they think, oh, there's a correlation with a fee I can charge. So it helps to have a local kind of taking care of a lot of things, like at least as a figurehead or someone facing people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Carmen. Mm-hmm. So I think that's for the listeners out there, it's a good insight. It's sort of maybe again something. It's a good reflection to suggest that if you're just hiring one employee, if you're just getting started with outsourcing in Manila, it's probably not the best road to go down. But it's really interesting and important stuff, because eventually the economics of going out, incorporating, getting your own office will come into play compared to paying a leasing fee for a BPO. So there's definitely a lot of relevance here. And so thank you so much for your time, Carmen. And if people want to get in touch, how would they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can just contact me through email at coredesign_studio@yahoo.com.
Okay. Another great episode from Carmen Reyes there. If you want to get in touch with Carmen, go to our show notes for her information. You can get that at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode56. And if you have any questions for us at Outsource Accelerator, just drop us an email. You can do that at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com, and we will get back to you.